Live at Nightmare Studios in Houston, Texas, you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show, where two jamokes drink and rate craft beer while they chew the fat about the world of hard rock and heavy metal, followed up by one-on-one interviews with veterans and newcomers in the industry. I'm your official announcer, Joey Clams, and here to introduce themselves is tonight's special guest.
Hey everybody, this is Jeff Scott Soto, and I give you the right to rock.
Without further ado, here are two co-hosts who are so metal they wear galvanized underpants. It's Genghis and Ragman.
Hey, this is Jeff Capsoto, and you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show. Horns up, everybody!
Guys, you're on live with Ragman Mono E Mono with one of his favorite vocalists of all time, Mr. Jeff Scott Soto. Give it up. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Sitting in the car in morning rush hour traffic, but it's all good because of technology. We have that hands-free thing. I don't have to hold the phone, and I can just talk to you while everybody looks at me from other cars and goes, I wonder what this guy's having a conversation to himself about.
Well, you know, I'm sitting in a parking lot on my phone in my car calling you in Houston. I got through my morning commute, though. It's thank God it's 72 and clear. But, dude, I heard are you in L.A.?
Let's give the listeners a little more of a fun visual of where you're actually in a badass studio where they're bringing you sushi and steak and some lobster and some really cool stuff. And I'm actually back on the West Coast. I'm sitting just out on the beach. My feet are out. And I can see the ocean. Let's give a little more fantasy to this interview.
Okay, cool. Garcon, more steak. and it's 11 here, so officially I can start drinking beer too. So
well, there you go.
I'll do some of that too.
Perfect.
While you sip on your coffee and look at the ocean. And you know what? I'd probably trade you. That's a better visual. But anyway, man, good to talk to you again, Jeff. Welcome back to the show, and congratulations on your latest release, Retribution.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a long time coming to do a solo album. I've been doing so many other things, and that's one of the other misconceptions. I did an album with a band called Soto, and it's most people are confusing it with my solo career because it's got my last name on it. It's kind of like when Don Dokken had Dokken for so long, and then he put the kind of super group together with John Norum and Mickey D and released a Don Dokken album. Everybody thought that was the new Dokken, but it was actually Don Dokken's solo album with all his friends involved. So my solo albums are primarily me, and I have a group where normally, in this case, I have only one person that surrounds me to create the record. But my last two releases was a band called Soto, and that's a set lineup. That's a set style of music, genre, and it's a set band where my solo thing, I kind of swirl it around with different people I want to work with, and that's what Retribution is. It's been about 5 years since the last solo album, and I was excited when Frontiers wanted to do another one, and here it is.
Well, that's all. You stole the question out of my mouth before I could ask it, just to give people. Because you know what? I make that mistake. I've been a fan of yours for many years. But I see Jeff Scott Soto. All I see is your name, and I instantly say, I got to have it, you know, because I love the way you sing, man. Putting it in, you're like, okay, yeah, that's different than Soto. Because Soto's got a heavier, harder edge to it. Even though I would have to say some of the your solo stuff on this record can get pretty heavy at times as well. But it's like you said, it's a different thing. It's a different type of Jeff Scott Soto record you're going to get.
Well, even the way I'm singing, my solo stuff, I tend to lean more towards more of a hard rock, AOR kind of style, the melodic rock style of singing. Because even though the music can be heavy on this album in particular, that was also by design because I wanted it to be an album that was closer to my hard rock roots as opposed to just being too, I don't want to say the J word, too Journey or Foreigner sounding. I wanted it to sound a little edgier, but it still gives me a vehicle to sing smoother and more clean, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Soto was more aggressive musically and vocally, and that's I guess that's the one thing that separates the two is kind of my approach to how I sing.
Well, how would you say this Retribution differs from Damage Control? I mean, it's been 5 years since you released that one, but would you say there's a big difference jumping? I mean, like you said, you've had a lot of things going on in between, but or is this just kind of a natural progression from Damage Control?
Well, Damage Control was kind of the springboard to Soto, because it was starting to get heavier then. And when I actually did the first Soto record, it was supposed to be another Jeff Scott Soto album, but the manager I was working with at the time, he basically said, dude, this sounds like a band. It doesn't sound like a solo album. It sounds like a cohesive unit kind of recording. I don't think I'm going to be able to sell this as a JSS album. It's one of the reasons why we went to it as a band record. And then I kept that lineup intact, as that was going to be the lineup of Soto. So in going back to your question, I would say Retribution is kind of a cross between Damage Control and the album I did prior to that, which was Lost in the Translation, the other solo album. Because there was another one in between there. It was more of a funkier soul kind of thing, and that was Beautiful Mess. But the one I did with Howie Simon back in the day was, I would say that's closer to what we're doing in Retribution.
Very cool. Yeah, I remember the funkier record. That was a really kind of cool, different departure thing. And you've got such a versatile voice that you can sing a lot of different stuff. So it's kind of cool to hear you branch out like that. I got to admit, though, I'm a fan of the heavier, melodic, hard rock stuff. But it was really cool. I was glad that you did that, man.
But a lot of when I do those kind of things, those are like my bucket list items. I really wanted to do that kind of record, and sometimes you kind of have to just jump on a feeling. And I had that feeling during that time. I have so many different styles and colors to my career and what I consider the things that make me tick. And I just, at that point in time, I wanted to get that album out of my system. I didn't want to wait till later. I didn't want a budding career where it wouldn't allow me to squeeze something like that in. And again, it's just to add more confusion to the melting pot that is just Scott Soto, I released that album as JSS because I knew it was so different that the core fans would know it's a Jeff Scott Soto record. But instead of putting my full name on there, I kind of wanted a pseudonym to kind of brand it because it was a different style, different sound. So anybody that would discover that music, they wouldn't just say, who's Jeff Scott Soto? They would just say JSS, kind of as a pseudonym to what I was doing with that stuff. So again, I'm becoming like Prince, you know, where I started the name and came up with a symbol. Doing different things and different labels and different brands on how to sell them, but it also represents that way when you see or hear a particular branding or a different name or initial, you know what you're going to expect with that. So with the Jeff Scott Soto record, you know you're going to expect more of the hard rock, melodic rock thing, and that's kind of how, by design, we've kind of set out to do.
That's cool. It's like you have three aliases. Well, let's jump into the record, and I want to bring up a song, because you mentioned, you know, kind of the AOR type vibe, and maybe I'm way off in left field, but I don't know. This is kind of what I heard, and I really like this song, Rain Again, kind of a mid-tempo AOR type rocker, and it almost, some reason to me, it almost kind of had like that early Autograph type sound, just big anthemic type stuff, you know? I don't know if I'm way off or not.
Even when I was writing the verses and the lyrics, I'm like, oh my God, I can't get away from it. I would climb any mountain.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez, okay, think of something else. But that's cool that you hear Autograph as well, because there was no real set design when we were writing the tune. My buddy August Thatcher, who plays for Dennis DeYoung, he co-wrote the song with another buddy of ours, named Steve Sturman. They presented a few ideas to me for the album. And I heard this one's the one that popped out the most. I go, I think this one would fit the format of the record best, even though it's more on the lighter fare. It's more of an M.O.R. kind of song as opposed to a hard rock song.
Yeah.
I think if we beef it up and whatever I do with the vocals is what's going to give it the final result. And that's the one we went with. And I think it's a really cool tune, and where we placed it on the sequencing of the album, I think it fits really well. But funny thing you say Autograph, because I heard more Foreigner on that.
I'm going to have to go back and listen again. It's in my head right now. But, yeah, I don't know. I was...
Take the vocals out of the verse and start singing the verse through what feels like the first time.
Okay,
you gotcha. See what I mean.
Exactly. Well, I'll just off subject real quick, and I don't want to, you know, bring up any old wounds or anything like that, but since you mentioned Foreigner and just kind of the state of Foreigner, where Kelly Hansen's singing now, and I guess they're doing a little bit with Lou Gramm again, and the whole Journey thing with you, which we talked about that last time we talked, that still irritates me. But if you were asked, if you were ever asked to do, I mean, because you look at a lot of these bands, these classic bands that are, you know, still kind of going. And say the vocalist bells out and they're like, you know, that Jeff Scott Soto, that guy, he's awesome. We want him. Would you consider doing something like that again? Or after the Journey fiasco, you said, you know what, nah, I kind of like doing my own thing.
No, you know what? I mean, that's kind of why I said yes to the Sons of Apollo gig. It is a group of musicians who come from their own right, their own level of career, etc. And I hate the term supergroup, but the fact that it's got all these named players and the fact that I could actually be a part of something that has original music as opposed to stepping into somebody else's career and coattails. That's the tough part with anybody. When you step into somebody else's shoes and somebody else's career and just have to follow it up, I'm not so much interested in that anymore because it's fun. It's almost like cover band fun. It's like being in a tribute band and you get to sing all your favorite songs that you sing in the car or sing in the shower or sing with your friends at bars and karaoke. But after a while, it starts getting on you. I knew at some point, if nothing happened with the Journey thing, if there was no whatever went down, didn't go down, I think at some point I would have walked because I would have felt, listen, I have way more in my life to give. I have more to offer than to sing somebody else's career. I think at some point I would have walked from it. Again, it has nothing. I love that music, and if I was offered Queen or Van Halen or something like that, I would love it. But I think it would be a part-time love. I think I'd find a way where I was just missing something. I was missing that integrity of who I am and my own substance and my own contributions, because there's not really any room for that at this point in those kind of bands' careers. At this point, the people just want to hear the classics. They want to hear the familiar sounds. And so something that was more enticing to me is to do something like Sons of Apollo, where it's all original from the get. And the first songs that anybody's ever going to hear live is something that I created. And that's more or less why I took that band.
I was going to bring that up towards the end of the interview. Man, that thing is freaking awesome. I just picked it up this weekend and was going to ask you, you know, how do you like that? It's a progressive Jeff Scott Soto. I mean, you've done a lot of different stuff, but you know, Dream Theater, you got Billy Sheehan. Oh, man, it's a really solid, solid record. And I was going to ask you, which correlates with the new record. You got two brand new records coming out within, you know, say a month of each other. You know, how hard is it for that?
Well, it's difficult on the promotional trail, definitely, because obviously we're stepping over each other's shoes. But because neither side wanted to change the release date, we just say, hey, you know what? We'll have to work with it. And another one that's doing the same thing is Michael Sweet. He's got the new Sweet Lynch Mob coming out, and then and Lynch Mob has a new record. So George Lynch is doing it. So he's promoting the Lynch Mob record at the same time they're doing this new Sweet Lynch album that's just popping out.
Yeah.
So you find a way to just pull it off. It's extra work. It's a big load to deal with, but you just do it. This is what we do for a living.
Yeah, and be thankful you got these avenues to do as much as you're able to do, which, as fans, we love.
Absolutely.
It. It's you know, if you think back in the day, you had to wait, if you were lucky back in the day, once a year you would get a record from an artist you like. Now you're looking at three or four, possibly, just because, you know, the way the market is. But all these guys are doing these different projects. I think the hard part is trying to balance it so these projects don't get lost. So, you know, I guess
back in the day, there was the main reason why they were coming out so frequently was because they were on major labels, and the labels had their agendas. You put out a record, you tour, you come home and do another record, you tour, and it was back to back to back to back. You just never stopped working. Now bands are not so much covered by labels and radio and MTV. That whole support system is just dead in the water. So there's no real demand to do it with that formula anymore. You know, back in the day, the only bands that would take forever to do a record, like Def Leppard, you'd have an album that was 4 years apart. But they would take the time to record this masterpiece that nobody else was doing. You know, it would take them the time to record those kind of records. These days, it's just you just don't have that infrastructure anymore to be able to do that that level of releases anymore.
Right, right, exactly. Well, let's go back to the record. Another song I want to bring up is, and I'm really digging this one, is Last Time. And that one's kind of a heavier mid-tempo rocker. I really dig that tune. Do you have a cool story about how that song came together?
When our bass player took his own life, sadly, but Howie wrote a bunch of songs that he planned to submit for the band Talisman, because he was a part of that as well for a short time, and he kind of knew what we were looking for, what kind of sound we were going for even back then. And these are little gems that just never got finished, they never got released. So we dug back into that catalog of tunes, and I wanted to finish them as well, because I thought, as a solo record, I thought it would be great to revisit that kind of sound and that kind of vibe. And that's what we did with that particular song and a few others. It's a familiar sound that my older fans would be actually into, and that's kind of what we were going for, especially in Last Time. So it does have that kind of Talisman swing to it. And I dig it. I dig all those songs that kind of remind me of the old days of what we were writing, what we were doing back in the early 90s.
Well, you know what? I was going to bring that up, and I picked up on that. So I lost on the Foreigner one, but I picked up on that one, because I was going to follow up and say, man, it's heavier. It's got a, you know, kind of a cool, almost a Talisman type groove. I love Talisman. It's such a shame what happened with Marcel, and but man, yeah. y'all had some great music, man.
Thank you.
I want to bring up another track, but I think I might be teetering back in that Talisman line, which is Breakout's pretty heavy, up-tempo. I really dig that track too, man.
Fire, your pants on fire.
That was a newer song.
Oh, okay.
I wrote a song on the Lost in Translation album back in 2004 that Howie played on, a song called Drowning. And when we were discussing, you know, I what kind of tempos, what kind of vibes, what I'm looking for, I said, man, it would be great to have something that's up-tempo like that song. And he called me up like a few days later. He goes, dude, I have Drowning Part 2. You're going to love it. And that's what we were calling it all the way until the time I actually wrote the lyrics for it. And so even the working title was Drowning 2 because it had that killer straight-ahead rocking vibe.
Yeah.
I loved it working on that song.
It's a killer track. Well, let me ask you this,
thanks,
Jeff. As far as, I mean, you have a lot of irons in the fire. You're doing TSO. What is Sons of Apollo? Are they going to try to do some dates? And then how are you looking at touring with your solo band? And is it going to be Soto, or would you go out as Jeff Scott Soto?
Well, one of the commitments I made with Sons of Apollo is to keep my calendar entirely free for next year, because there's going to be a massive push for Sons of Apollo. And if there's any time in between to do anything, it would probably be my solo band, because I've got another album that's coming out early part of next year with another project called Wet. But that's more of a project. That's more of a studio thing that we've been doing for the better part of the last 10 years. That's not really something that we've ever toured or never expected to tour with. So the only other thing I would go out with support this record would be a Jeff Scott Soto tour. But at this point, it doesn't look like I will have the time, because now the itinerary is starting to pour in, and it's looking like I'm going to be so busy, I won't want to go out and do anything else, because I'm just going to be fried. I'm going to need some recharge time in between Sons of Apollo days.
Is the Sons of Apollo, is that going to be more focused on Europe, or do you think you guys would do a run in the States?
It's worldwide, my brother. From what I've seen so far, it's probably two separate U.S. tours, because the U.S. is obviously bigger to deal with. But without saying too much, it's looking worldwide on this thing.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Because I know Billy's would probably be winding down with Mr. Big at that point as far as tour commitments. And the Winery Dogs aren't really doing much, so Portnoy's, I guess he's putting all his focus on this as well. So, man, that's
Also by design. When Winery wrapped up, they said, let's just take a little hiatus, because Mike wanted to jump into this thing, and this is something that he's been talking about doing for the past 5 years. It just hasn't found the time to do it. He didn't realize Winery Dogs was going to hit the way it did, and they wanted to follow up with that the proper way. I'm looking for the right word. They just wanted to do it the right way, because they did pick up quite a fan base for that material. So they did the channels. That's what I was looking for. They wanted to follow the right channels and showing people that it wasn't just a one-off. And that's exactly what we're doing with Sons of Apollo. We want to show that it's not just a one-off. It's going to be something that can be followed up with.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, when Sons of Apollo got together and they brought you in, and I know this is more about your solo record. I'm sorry, we jumped off there for a second. But was it something that you guys all got to in as a band and wrote music together, or was it something that they had? Because I noticed on the CD, there's an instrumental mix, and then there's the disc with the vocals. So instrumentally, did they have this stuff kind of done? And they said, we love Jeff Scott Soto, we want him to sing on this. Or did you get involved with any of the writing with those guys?
I'm not on the music writing. I only got involved with the melodies and the lyrics.
Lyrics, okay.
They wrote everything, and they presented to me, and they were even able to give me the breakdown of where I'm singing and where I'm not, which was very helpful, because when you give somebody an 11-minute piece of music, you're just going, oh, geez, where's the vocals supposed to fit in something like this? So, thankfully, In the structure of the music end, they had that already mapped out for me and planned. But it was an open canvas. I mean, they let me come up with what I needed to come up with, especially just to get a foundation. And then we finish everything off together. There's something, I would come in with lyrics completed, and they say, that's cool, that's a little too much wording here, or maybe a different context here. And that's where we did everything together on that part. I think there's only two songs on the Sons of Apollo that are 100% my melodies and my lyrics where they said it's perfect, leave it as is, and that was Signs of the Time and Alive. But the other stuff that we really chiseled it together, and because it's a band, we wanted to make sure that it sounded like a band. It didn't sound like five individual solo projects.
Yeah, I love it. it's totally awesome. I do want to go back to one more track before we wrap up here. And this one, for me, on the record, like I said, there's... I'm going to ask you that in a second. Inside Out. Okay. Outside. That one's a little different. It seems a little bit more, I guess, it had that more of that melodic AOR as well. That's a really cool tune, too, I wanted to bring up. And I don't know if you have a quick story about how that one came together.
It didn't make the cut because it was discussed, it was heard and discussed, but we never actually got around to making that record that it would have been on. And somewhere, Howie reminded me, somewhere out there was I'd already worked on lyrics and melodies. I never remembered actually finishing or even working on the song. I remember having an instrumental version of it, which was the demo, but I don't remember actually working on it. And
wow.
He says, no. I remember you playing it for me, because when I was working on it for this album, it was all fresh new ideas. I had no recollection of something that I'd already come up with. So it would have been, it'll definitely be interesting if I can find it. I looked everywhere. If I could find the original version of that song to see if I actually indeed did come up with something for it, it would be interesting now to hear what that is in contrast to what we ended up with the record.
That would be awesome to hear, man. Last question here, Jeff. As far as when you do play live with your solo band, what are your thoughts? Would you ever think about doing a pretty introspective show where you pulled from all the various bands you worked with, say Talisman, all your solo stuff? I'm going to bring up an oldie but a goodie, Eyes. I mean, would you think about doing a retrospective show where you pulled, you know, a song or two from some of those records and did a whole show? Or have you ever thought about doing anything like that?
I got to be honest. That is the structure of my
show. Oh, awesome.
Even with Soto, even though Soto was a band and we had two albums to draw on, I still threw in a few things from my past. But a Just Got Soto show truly is a best of my entire career show. We do everything. I actually don't do as many songs from my solo records as I do from my past. We throw in Talisman, we throw in Axel Rudipel, we throw in Yngwie, we throw in the movie Rockstar. Eyes, not so much, because demographically, I normally tour South America and Europe, and Eyes didn't really hit out there. If I were ever to tour the States, I would probably throw some Eyes in. But yeah, that's primarily what a JSS show is. It's a retrospect of everything I've done.
Well, awesome. Well, Jeff, before we let you go today, is there anything that you'd like to tell the fans out there?
Well, as far as fans, I mean, I say it 3, 5, 10 years, 20 years after the fact, I still say the same thing. I'm blessed and humbled to be able to do this for a living, that people are still out there interested in hearing what I'm doing, what I can come up with. There's no bigger reward and feeling than people are that just continue to be interested in what I have to offer. And so I couldn't say, there's no thank you big enough that I can offer based on the fact that you guys allow me to continue doing what I'm doing. All I can say is thank you.
Well, Jeff, we want to thank you for coming back onto the Genghis and Ragman show here on therighttorock.com. And we want to tell all the fans to go out and get Jeff's new solo record, Retribution, coming out on Frontiers. Yeah. Jeff, awesome talking to you again, man. I could probably talk to you for another 3 or 4 hours, but you have other things to do.
Thank you, brother.
You got to get back to the beach.
Exactly, I hear those waves calling.
But, dude, good luck with everything. And if you come to Houston with Sons of Apollo, we will be up front. I will find you. We will go have a beer or something.
Rest assured, we will be there. So we shall be seeing you soon.
Joseph have lent us 13 to finish the show. So what you're listening to right now is 13 by Sonic X. So check them out and keep checking us out. And horns up.